we'll now have our readings for today read by Darren and Suzanne.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 1 to 5. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the Gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning from verse 45 to verse 56. Praise and glory to God. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Father, thank you, our Lord, that you're alive today, Lord, filling us by your Spirit, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give us courage as we look into your word today. May we know you more and encourage our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Youth, put your phones down. Adults, put your phones down. Unless, of course, you're reading the Bible. But if you are reading the Bible and looking at your phone, we will want to inspect your phone. Well, sometimes life can feel like we're in a bit of a storm. The disciples knew all about storms. So did Jesus. In reading the story of Jesus walking on the water, actually, it's interesting in this account, it doesn't talk at all about Peter walking on the water. It talks about Jesus because the point is, It's all about Jesus. But I'd always imagined when Jesus is walking on the water that the water is flat. But it's not. It's in the middle of a heck of a storm. So Jesus is walking up the waves and down the waves. He's having a party. The disciples are not. They're feeling embattled. They are rowing against the wind. They're growing into a storm. And Jesus is about to pass them by. I think the reason that the disciples know that is because Jesus told them. I'm only getting in because you asked me to. I was going to get ahead just to see how you got on. But actually, the key thing that the disciples understood by this, and the thing I think that we're to understand by this, is this. Don't lose your focus. Our focus is on Jesus. Every May, we go through a series on vision, where we discuss what we think the Lord is calling us to. We just about started that in May, and we were hit by a storm. The church, the national church, was hit by a storm called Motion 7. The difficulty is we needed to look at it, but there was a temptation that we took our eyes off a little bit off Jesus. Purpose of today is for us to reset our sights upon him. But it's good every now and then to give us an update as to where we are in regards to this church and what happened with and what is happening with Motion 7. So just buckle up quickly. I will give you an update so you can't say that you don't know, unless, of course, you're on your phone or asleep. As you know, or as you may not know, General Synod, which is the sort of the governing body of the national church, passed a motion which gave permission to bishops and parish priests, by permission only, to perform the blessing of same-sex marriages. We considered that between May and August is what we were going to do with that, because we felt that it was unbiblical. I'll just keep going because I'll get myself in a deep hole. So we talked about this from May until August. We had meetings upon meetings. I had about 12 meetings with church members about this. To remind us as well, what we did at the end of these meetings is we had a survey. It was not a vote. It didn't actually enable us to do anything, but it was just to gather the mind of the community. The survey results were very interesting, actually, because 98% of the church were not in favor of the decisions that General Synod had made. However, the church was split virtually 50-50 as to what we were to do about that. There was an option to join something called a Christian community. The Christian community is part of the province of the Anglican Church of New Zealand, but it's designed to protect the theological integrity of the church. The other option was to disaffiliate from the Anglican province of New Zealand and to join a new Anglican movement in New Zealand. We were split 50-50. And as a vestry and as a staff, we went away for a day and we prayed and we pondered. And we met again after our day away. And we were quite concerned about this because the church was divided not in its theology, but in its methodology, how it was to work out what we believe we were to do. Interestingly, when you look at a second slice of the survey, the 50%, if the Christian community doesn't work, we then jump to 77% of the church would prefer to disassociate itself from the Anglican province of New Zealand. However, as a vestry, we believe, and we still believe, that it is important that we remain united as a church. We do not want to go into any actions that would divide even us as a body, let alone be divisive elsewhere in the life of the church. Primarily, our concern is for you and for me to be worshiping together and to be of one mind. Therefore, we decided that what we were going to do is to stay. We're going to stay in the province of New Zealand so long as the following occurs. That as a church, we are not forced to perform things that we believe are unbiblical. Secondly, that we will join a Christian community to protect our theological identity. And thirdly, as long as the doctrine of marriage is not changed, we will remain. Now, we're currently drafting a letter to the bishop, inviting him possibly to come and meet us as a vestry. And so he may know how we feel about the decisions that they have made on our behalf that we don't agree with. We're going to do this in a very polite and very grown-up manner. But we're going to invite the bishop to come and talk to Vestry. This letter will be approved this month by Vestry. Thirdly, we'll be aiming for an amended declaration of adherence and submission. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, God bless you. For those who don't, come and talk to me later. It's a little bit too boring to go into right now. We believe that our theological integrity still remains intact. We are not being asked to do anything different, and we're not being asked to preach anything other than the Word of God. We're not being asked to compromise the gospel here. Until such a time that becomes untenable, we will remain here to declare the truth of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Scriptures. His death, His resurrection, and ascension. We will be a beacon of transformation for this community and for the wider church to show what it means to be on fire, Spirit-filled, and Anglican, which might seem like an oxymoron. Kings come and go, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Our call, and I want you to just hear this very carefully, our call now is to pray for God to bless those that He has put in authority over us. Not to criticize them, but to pray for God's blessing on them. We may ask critical questions, but we are not to criticize. I don't think Jesus did that. Actually, the most critical words Jesus had were for the religious, actually, interestingly. But we are called to be a blessing, because if we call a blessing upon our leaders, the blessing will fall upon us. Can you see? When the kings of the land were blessed, the people were blessed. When our bishops are blessed, we are blessed. Let us continue to pray and be a blessing. Currently, as you would have heard by the prayers today, the Christian community doesn't exist. There is nothing to join. Currently, the alternative Anglican existence doesn't exist at the moment. There is nothing to join. So when we're asking for some things to be done, there is nothing to do. So we have to remain faithful here, doing what God has called us to do. In the meantime, God has given us these buildings to use to His glory. And until such a time that we're prevented from doing so, we will extend the kingdom here in this place. Amen? Great. That's your update. If you want any more updates, please speak to a vestry member or to me, and I will give you greater clarity if you need it. We are people who stand for Jesus and for His kingdom and its extension. We have a life-changing and transforming message to give to the world. Jesus loves sinners and calls them to repentance and gives them new life. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we are to be transfixed with. In a storm, the disciples were seeing the storm, but they had the ability to set their sights on Jesus. And when Jesus comes into focus, the gravity of a storm seems to gain a new perspective. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. This church has a mandate and a calling on it to become a strong house for the Lord. He's preserved and will always preserve for Himself a remnant in society that will preach the gospel well and true and in a culturally relevant way. This place is called to be a strong house for the Lord. So what are we to do with this? Let me tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Can you say that for me? Now is the time of God's favor. Because Jesus is in us, we are favored by him. What are we to do with this? Well, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're to look at him, to be transfixed by him, to actually look, to have that being the central focus of all that we say and do. Justice only works as justice when Jesus is on the throne. Everything that we do must be about getting people to know and fall in love all the more with Jesus. Yeah? Good. I'm glad someone's coughing in agreement. So what are his ways? How can we be consumed? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. But please do on a Sunday worry about what you're going to wear. But everything will be added to you if you just focus on Jesus. That's why we put that there. Because it's all about him. Life will be sorted if we set our sails and our sights on him. Now, hopefully, you will have read the vision letter, and you'll see some of what I believe God is calling us to as a community. But I went away very kindly. Someone loaned me a little bijou residence, and I went on retreat. And as I was walking around, I said, Lord, Lord, this is Vision Sunday. Please tell me something. He says, I've already told you something. I said, pardon? He said, I've already told you something. I said, I don't know what you've told me. He said, yes, you do. I said, what? He said, double portion. I was reminded, thank you. I got a whoop then. Whoa, I haven't had a whoop here for years. It's lovely. I'll do it again, double portion. Well, no, it wasn't quite as exciting. In the last 3 years, St. Margaret's has doubled in size, which is an extraordinary testimony to you and to the work of Jesus in this community. Now, generally, we don't count people, but let me tell you, God counts people. He counts the one that he died for. He counts the next one that he died for. We count people because people count to God. And I believe that God has called us to be a double portion people. I don't know what I've done then. I just switched that off. To be a double portion people. In personal life, in our church life, God is calling us to live in the reality that we are in the favor of God now. That means that everything that we do is blessed by faith. In the talk on Elisha that I was given, I said, God has a predisposition to bless you and to be nice to you. Actually, I think he's far nicer than nice. He is good and he will be good to you. If we just remember that, that will change how we live. Because we are blessed. Can you say that for me? We are blessed. Can you change that to the personal pronoun? I am blessed. Brilliant. Excellent. So God, if he invests in us, expects a return on his investment in fruitfulness, in character, and in productivity. We are called to focus on him. William Carey, the great Baptist preacher, said this, expect great things from God, but, and I'm going to put in brackets there, but don't just sit on your bum with your arms folded. Attempt great things for God. Because as we attempt them, we then find that he meets our expectations. We're to push into him. Our greatest call is to see this neighborhood, your neighbors, Hillsborough, Auckland, and this land blessed by God through us. We count in his work. Every person is vital for the work of the kingdom. So I was thinking about this, a double portion, Lord, what does this mean? What are you going to do? And I believe the Lord says, I want you as a community to push and to go for it. Will you go for it with the Lord? And I was reminded of Isaiah 54. So turn with me there. Hi, Esme. Great to see you. Hi, Claire. There's a budding preacher there. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than those of who has a husband. There are words in there that don't make sense, but you know what I mean. There is a promise here. The Lord is planting a seed of expectation that he's going to be doing something extraordinary. He says, I'm going to do this, but now I want you to do something in particular. And he says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, increase your effectiveness with the areas that I have given you. Enlarge the place of your tent. We are called to build, to expand, and to prepare to expand even more. Because this is what God's kingdom is about. It's an expanding kingdom, not a shrinking kingdom. What must we do to make provision for the double portion of God? Well, Isaiah 54 holds the key. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. How? First of all, he says this, a double portion life, a double portion people are to stretch their tent curtains wide. So it'll be a bit like this, just sort of pushing that wall out, making room for more people. We're not going to do it, by the way, just in case you're wondering. But open up the sides of our tents to have a greater capacity to bless and be hospitable. This is not just for the church, this is for our homes. Imagine a Bedouin tent. The entire community comes and gathers under the heat of the day in this. This is where life and family is done. Entire communities gather their identity from the tent. This house is the tent of the Lord. It's a meeting place. What are we to do to stretch our tent curtains wide, Esme? What are we going to do? Well, we need to look at our services again. I said this last year, but I think we're even more desperate this year. There is room for growth at our 8 o'clock service. We get about 30 to 40 people at that service. If you've got a heart for a traditional service, will you serve at that service to help it grow? This service here at 10 o'clock, we are at capacity. Not today, but we are most Sundays. When a church gets 75% full, church growth statisticians say that a worship service will stop growing because people can't get car park, they can't get their favorite seat. Who is sitting in the seat that they normally sit in on a Sunday? The sound man is, praise the Lord. But isn't it interesting? What if you can't get your favorite seat? You go home. Yeah, God bless you, but you've got your favorite seat, so you're here. We are at the point now when we need to do something. Now, do we, for instance, find a new venue in the morning and have a satellite service in the community somewhere? We've done it before. Do you remember when we did the building projects? We were down at the primary school. Maybe we could do that again with the idea that we increase our capacity to bless and see people come to Jesus. This is about fixing our eyes on Jesus, about what Jesus is doing in the community. I feel a little bit like that chef, you know, that shouty, sweary chef. What's his name? Gordon Ramsay. I won't do the shouty, sweary bit. We're also hoping to plant an evening service in early 2019. Young adults and youth oriented. Jimmy will be hitting that up. I'll be there and Ed will be there. We won't get any sleep. It's going to be fantastic. But actually, if you want to see more people of your age at that service, you need to turn up. And not only that, you need to turn up with your mates. There's room for more. Oh, there are not enough people my age. Well, who invites them? You do. Jesus invites people through you. So we need to make some more room. We need to stretch our tent curtains that way. Secondly, we need to increase our desire for invitation. We'll be looking at ways this year coming, of how to train and equip people to have more confidence in sharing their faith. I don't think we're very brave at sharing our faith at the moment. We're very good sort of standing witnesses, a billboard for the Lord, but sometimes a speaking advertisement is quite powerful. And I think in you is the possibility of seeing people come to Christ. We want to train you how to do that this year. Seeing things through the eyes of Jesus. Alpha is vital. We want to run Alpha twice a year. This year, we didn't quite get the second Alpha running. I'm so sorry, John and Jimmy. We did try to do it, but unfortunately, I think we were just slightly worried about the storm. But Jesus is now in the boat, and we need to push on. Our marriage course is about to start. So far, we've got six people signed up. Six couples signing up. That's slightly different. Six couples signing up. There is room for more. These are ways in which the community can engage in the church without feeling that we're trying to convert them, even though we might eventually. Marriage preparation is coming up as well. Our life skills team are longing to relaunch this and to equip people with how to cook, how to be assertive, how to get hold of their anger, and all sorts of things like that. There's a great team. Budgeting as well. Serving at the op shop, ways of increasing our invitation through that to the local community that Jesus cares for people. There are many ways in which we can be the bridge through which Jesus is introduced to somebody. Never underestimate the power of a cup of coffee. Not to give you vitality, but actually just to chat with someone about their life. At the school gate, at the office, wherever you are, have a cup of coffee with someone who looks like they're struggling and just listen to them. They'll then start to ask why you're listening eventually. There are some friends at church here who have committed themselves once a month to invite 10 people to lunch. Every month, different people to get them to know one another. That's really challenged me. What would it be to be invitational to the people of this community and to visitors and guests, to invite them into your home, to actually start to break bread with them? Yeah, life's busy. But let me tell you, life is never going to slow down. There will never be a quiet day for you to open your home. It will never be clean enough. You will never have enough food in the cupboards. Your washing will never get done. But your home is the place where lives are transformed. Jimmy and I are looking towards the end of this year to actually invite our neighbors to a barbecue because we want to get to know them. Jimmy loves speaking to people. It's extraordinary. I mean, he speaks to anybody. I mean, it's incredible. And he just loves making friends. Well, we're going to try and enhance that in this community. We've got people of other faiths, just local people who just don't go to church. We want them to get to know us. Would you do that in your community? Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, go on. Turn on the barbie, slap on a bit of steak, and open your homes. But as we go wider, as we stretch our tent curtains wide, we must go deeper. In Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. A double portion people must strengthen themselves. As a tent gets bigger, it needs to be able to hold itself and ground itself firmly in the Lord. The greater capacity needs greater stabilization. We need to work hard on building relationships in Jesus, focusing on Jesus. Our Sunday school ministry, youth, time to wake up. See if you can find your face on the photograph. We need to see the next generation reached, taught, and equipped to do the work of Jesus. Our Sunday school, our Sunday children's ministry is great. We've set aside Paul and a team. If you've been serving in Bubbles or in Splash, thank you so much for what you're doing. But I think you could say with me, with confidence, there's room for more. We've got about 13 children on our books at the moment. We've got room for so much more. We need to see our children's work doubled in the next 12 months. I've told that to Paul just as he was getting on the plane to go to the UK. I don't know if he's going to come back. But we want to see more children at this church, don't we? Growing in Christ. I know that there are conversations going on at the school gate. Thank you. Keep those going. But there is more. If you've got neighbors with kids, ask if you can kidnap them for a morning and bring them to church. Let's see these children hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is going out to local schools and will go out to more. He's at Waikowhai, been going out this term, doing Bibles in schools. But I'm sure that you have contacts into schools as well. Let's see how we can create more opportunities. Our youth ministry is fantastic. We reach about somewhere between 30 and 50 youth each week here. And they're great. They're all on a journey of faith. Ed has come all the way from South Africa to work here. God bless South Africa. They're now weaker because he's left. But he's now come to us to make us strong in the Lord for our young people. My challenge to Ed and the youth. Youth, could you stand for a second? We want to thank you for being here and for listening. Youth, please stand. It's not difficult. What you do is you just move your legs up like this. That's right. Yes, that's you too. Well done. I just want you to look at me and I want to say this to you, that God's favor is on you. Okay, you are chosen by God and you're here not by accident. That God has planted a seed in you that is to grow, and there is a commission on you to grow. My challenge to you as youth and to Ed is you are to double in size in the next 12 months in Christ. This is not numbers for numbers' sake. This is numbers for salvation's sake. Your commission in 12 months is to be inviting at least one person in the next month to come and join you at youth, but to be praying with me for youth ministry to double in size, to be greater effectiveness in our local schools and everything. Are you willing to receive that commission? Yeah? Well, God bless you and let's go for it. Yeah? Great, sit down. Thank you, youth. God bless you. Please be praying for them. However, with more youth, we'll need more mentors. Is anyone here over the age of 25? Put your hand up. Come on, Corrie, put your hand up. Catherine, you are over the age of 25. If you are over the age of 25, you have enough life knowledge to be a mentor for a teenager because you've got through puberty without killing anybody, I hope. That you're needed. Our teenagers and our new teenagers need your help. The stuff that I hear from our teachers, man, our youth need help. Please be willing to mentor young adults. We have a embryonic young adults ministry. Jimmy is hitting this up. My challenge is this: grow. At the moment, we have about 12 young adults. Is that right? Your challenge is to triple, not to double. Because if a challenge is not scary enough, it's not God enough. triple in 12 months. We want to see this place humming and fizzing. Why? Because young adults need to know Jesus. They need to have their sights fixed on Jesus. Do they not? Yes? Will you pray and encourage our young adults? I don't like calling them young adults because they're adults. But it's just sort of some word. So there you are. Young adults, grow. We will also do our theology. We'll look at how to do that. Max is going off to get married, so I don't quite know how we're going to grow our theological work, but we will, because we're committed to go deeper in the Lord. Because unless we have solid foundations, when the rain comes and the wind comes, we'll just get blown off course. Mixing my metaphors, of course. As we go wider and as we go deeper, a double portion people means also that we should lengthen our cords. The bigger the tent, the more rope you need, not to hang yourself, but just to keep the thing going. We need to be connected in relationships that tie us back into the church and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Are you getting the message? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. So therefore, our life groups. We have 8 life groups at the moment. In the next 12 months, that needs to double. It simply does. Because we've got less than 30% of the church are at the moment connected into life groups. But let me tell you, we've got people coming from Puhoi, believe it or not, Takapuna, Howick, Clendon, Papakura, Titirangi, Hillsborough, Blockhouse Bay, all over the place. Life groups are meant to be beacons of life and hope in the community. Favona, Mangere, people are coming from. We need groups there that can gather people to themselves. This is where transformation occurs. We want groups. We've got a group in Mount Eden. Very posh place, by the way. It's a very nice home group to go to. They've got room for more. Find a life group leader and commit yourself to life going deeper in Him, getting connected to Jesus. Are you connected? Can you open up your home? Please do consider that for the sake of the growth of the gospel. We also want to see my clicker working. We really want to see. Can you just move on to the next slide? Thank you so much. There we go. Women's ministry and men's ministry. Men, well done. Well done, Neil. My goodness me. Every Friday morning at 6:30? Oh, God bless you. He sets the alarm off and wakes me up. Not anymore. He's trying to get me to go. But thank you so much for the men that are gathered on a Friday morning. Those men now have got a vision to start to mentor and buddy some of the young men in our youth. There is room for more men's ministry. Hunting, fishing, killing things. Just that what makes men alive. That's right. Sports events, just mucking around together, because when men muck around focusing on something else, that's when they tend to talk about their lives. They don't do it other ways. There are women here who have got men at home or on the golf course who actually could be connected into a men's ministry that actually could bring them to Christ. How can we grow our men's ministry? Women's ministry. I have been waiting for 4 years for someone to stand up and say, hey, I want to run a vibrant women's ministry, and I want to thank Kay for the work that you've done with our women. There's going to be a women's weekend away. I'm going to shave my legs, and I'm going. But it's going to be great. But what else can we do with our women that would invite other women to come, that would feed life into them, that would get them focused on Jesus, help them know that they're supported in life's triumphs and tragedies? What could we do with our women's ministry? Do you have a vision for that? Stand up and move on with it. Not stand up now. But let's see our women's ministry grow. Because as we stretch, as we lengthen, as we strengthen, The Lord asks us to keep focused on Him. Everything that we do is about Him. In the same way that we might still be in a storm theologically, let's not forget where we're going with Him. It's about Jesus. Everything we do is about Him. It's about a double portion life. It's about growth in Him for His glory, not for ours. But if we grow, we will have a louder voice in the land. That is the key thing. It requires us to do one thing. Do not hold back. Isaiah says, do not hold back. Well, the Lord says with him, do not hold back. Lengthen, strengthen, stretch. Don't be afraid. You will not suffer shame. We're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. The letter that I sent you, friends, has a little bit of a financial challenge to us. We need about $40,000 to get us through the next 12 months to keep doing what we're doing and to stretch and lengthen. Will you join with us in that? We've given you a couple of things over the last few weeks. First of all, I've written a vision letter. That will explain a little bit more about what I'm going on about. And all my papers have gone. Oh, here they are. In there is a little giving form. Well, it's not a little giving form, is it? But it's quite a big giving form. It's a big giving form for big giving. So please do enter that with faith. On the back, we'll just show you what some of the costs are. Even to be here today costs money. What would your tithe giving release and enable to happen? Secondly, also, Ian has a financial Q&A about where our money goes, about what we're doing with it. There are some people who are worried that the diocese are consuming all our finances. Let me tell you now, there is nothing further from the truth. We have 100% control of all our finances, 100% of the time. We currently give about 3% of our income to the diocese to run central funds, but not to be paying for our bishops. But I would encourage you, if you're looking where to give, sow here, sow into the ministry here, that the double portion ministry may start to grow. God wants to see a strong church in the Lord. We are to be a strong house for Jesus. Will you join with us as a staff team and as a vestry in doing this? Next week, I will be looking at the whole principle of sowing to grow. If you've got a seed, you've got to put it in the soil if you want to see it grow. Then we'll be having our gift day that very day. So next Sunday, come with your wallets and your bank accounts ready. Come ready to celebrate what Jesus wants to do in us. Do not hold back. Stretch, strengthen, lengthen, because the Lord wants to see a double portion people. Will you rise with me in faith and see what God can do? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we want to fix our eyes on you. Lord, we may be in a storm, but you're in the boat. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us rise to this doubling challenge, to be a double people, a double portion people that stretches out in the things of the kingdom. And so therefore, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we do not hold back, you would add the increase. Lord, open up our hearts to be invitational. Lord, we pray for a harvest of souls for Jesus. We pray for families to come to Christ. We pray for a growth in our youth ministry, for our young adults, Lord, to explode, not literally, but to explode in growth. Lord, that this would be a vibrant place of life and activity. This would be a well through which people find the living water. And that, Lord, that you may be glorified in all that we say or do. Give us faith, Lord, to stretch ourselves and not hold back. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.